Hello, everybody, and welcome to WikiQuest, an ongoing experiment in conversation and research. I'm Pizza Hubish.
I'm Breadsticks Giannatasio.
We're your Wiki twins for tonight. Tonight was pizza party. Yes, last night was pasta. Now it's pizza. It's like we have an Italian here, at least Giannatasio.
Did you know I'm actually more Irish than Italian? Fun fact.
Your last name begs to differ, my friend.
My last name is the only Italian thing about me. That's it. Well, and also my grandfather. He's pretty Italian.
Your grandfather is not a part of you.
Well, I beg to differ.
I'm sorry.
That's my family.
You turned into a Southern Belle.
That's my family. How dare you? That's my papa.
When you get angry. Oh, man. Hi, Elise.
Hi, Ted.
What's the haves today?
Honestly?
I should introduce the podcast first. Hey, yeah. Right, this is WikiQuest. We go on Wikipedia every week. We try to be your friends, and we have a laugh time. We go on random articles sometimes, and then we laugh at it.
Yeah, our official tagline is, I always say this
backwards. We already did it.
Did you?
Yeah.
A conversation and research and,
oh,
no.
Oh, shit.
An experiment in conversation and research.
Ongoing.
Ongoing. It's always happening.
Always, except the time that we took a long hiatus in the summer. Don't talk about it.
This is the past now. Mm-hmm.
This is the future of the past.
This is the future.
So, Elise, what's your day like?
What's my day like? You were there for most of it. I had two lectures.
Wait. This is a podcast. We can't be selfish.
What? I mean, I went to two different lecture classes, and then I sat on a train for an hour, and then we got pizza. Okay. And now we're here.
I was actually there for most of that.
You were there
but
for
also,
three
this is a podcast
of
we're
that.
Sharing with the world. The whole internet is watching our podcast.
Yeah. Oh, well, we were going to look up something from our lecture today.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
So we were talking about Superior Mirage.
Yes, we were watching a little bit of a Werner Herzog
documentary,
and it was about mirages. I forget what it was called. I'm sorry. Please send hate mail to...
Don't send hate mail.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you can if you want. Anyways.
Well, yeah, so our professor specifically said, you guys should go home and Wikipedia this.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't notice it, but Elise's little eyes brightened up, and she noticed in her little head, hey, Wikipedia show, I made that website.
I didn't make I wish I made Wikipedia. I wish I was smart enough to have come up with Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so good. But do you wanna look up Superior Mirage?
I would love to look it up. Give me that Superior Mirage that I crave. Nope.
Don't tell anyone I can't spell.
Elise can't spell.
I can't spell. Superior Mirage.
All right. Do you want me to take this or you to take this? You suggested it.
Honestly, I love it. I'll read the first part and then you can take over. How's that? A superior mirage occurs when the air below the line of sight is colder than the air above it. This unusual arrangement is called a temperature inversion, since warm air above cold air is the opposite of normal temperature gradient of the atmosphere. Passing through the temperature inversion, the light rays are bent down so that the image appears above the object, hence the name superior. Superior mirages are in general less common than inferior mirages, but when they do occur, they tend to be more stable as cold air has no tendency to move up and warm air has no tendency to move down.
Elise, what's your favorite mirage you've ever seen?
Oh.
I used to always see them. Going on down the way to school in the mornings, I would see a mirage.
Yeah. I live on a lake, and if you look in the morning down the lake, right when it's like right heating up,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you see those superior mirages, baby.
Elise. Baby. Elise just did the thing with the lips. It was really funny.
Oh. I remember what the name of the documentary was called.
What?
It's called Fata Morgana, which is also the Latin version of Superior Mirage. That's the translation.
Wow.
Yeah.
You saw it on the website, Wikipedia.org.
So we watched a clip from Fata Morgana. It was pretty neat. It was pretty slow moving. But there were a lot of mirages. There was a lot of shimmering air and things that looked like it didn't have legs.
You haven't seen like a Werner Herzog movie. He has a very good voice that he narrates with usually.
I want to see the one about the guy that lives with bears that gets killed.
Grizzly Man, yes.
Is that real? Like, yes. Did the man actually die?
Yes.
So what's the documentary about? Is it about
He made recordings. He taped up close encounters with grizzly bears.
But then the actual documentary, is it just that footage?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Oh my gosh, we should watch it. We should live stream us reacting to this man being mauled by grizzly bears.
I'm gonna sit this one out.
I'll do it.
Okay, so superior mirages are quite common in polar regions, especially over large sheets of ice that have uniform low temperature. Superior mirages also occur at more moderate latitudes, although in those cases, they are weaker and tend to be less smooth and stable. For example, a distant shoreline may appear to tower and look higher, and thus perhaps closer. Wow, I don't even know that. That's not even quite editorialization. It's just like whimsical writing.
Well, I think the tower was because when he explained it to us, a lot of people say that everything looks like a big building or castle.
Well, no, they're just saying that like the shoreline looks higher.
But I think that's why they said tower.
No.
You don't think so?
They said after tower, they say, and look higher.
Well.
Like, maybe. I don't know. At any rate, then it really is. Because of the turbulence, there appear to be dancing spikes and towers. This type of mirage is also called the
Fata Morgana.
Or
Hafgerdingar.
Dingar. In the Icelandic language. I'm so sorry for our Icelandic speaking
half
listeners.
Gerdingar.
That's some good hearing words.
Should we have Computer Lady say it to
Let's
us?
Let's have Computer Lady say it to us. Let's check that out.
Hafgerdingar.
Whoa, I love your Icelandic voice, Computer Lady.
Hafgerdingar.
You have a good voice. Thank you.
That's exactly how it looks, actually.
It does.
Once you sound it out.
Elise, I want you to take a look at this picture of the artificial mirage and let me know if you spot anything.
A boat.
Hold up. No, that artificial. That's the glass.
Is there a cat?
There is a cat.
Oh!
It has several eyes because of the mirage.
Wow, I love it.
I love my sweet mutant cat. What would you name that cat?
It's white, so...
How many eyes are those? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 clops.
10 eyes. 10 clops?
Wait.
That's what you would name it?
Yes, 10 clops.
That cat doesn't have 10 eyes in real life, though.
How do you know?
I know cat anatomy very well.
Cat anatomy? You made it gross. You put some gross on that.
What?
I was going to call it catatomy. Canatomy sounds like a gross.
Canatomy?
I don't like it. Elise, do you want to do a new article?
Sure.
I like these mirages a lot, though. Cool feature glitch planet Earth. Thanks for sharing.
I think you got to scroll up.
Yes, I know how to... This is my website, Elise.
This is my computer. I was just trying to help.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're a good friend, Elise.
Thanks, I try.
That can be a new sound. Let's do a new one.
Thanks, I try.
Actiniform cloud. An actiniform, or actiniform cloud, is a collection of marine low clouds that takes a distinctive shape. They are named after the Greek word for ray, due to their radial structure. Actiniform clouds can spread out over 300 kilometers, 190 miles, didn't need to include that for the podcast, across, and thus cannot be easily seen with the naked eye. In addition, actiniform clouds can form quote-unquote trains that are up to 6 times the length of the original cloud field, yet they maintain their own distinct identity.
Choo-choo.
Oh, God. These are very pretty clouds, dog. These are like the Munster cheese of clouds.
What's so good about Munster?
Have you ever seen Munster cheese?
No.
Okay, I'll get up a picture of Munster cheese. Because these clouds look just like it. From space.
Really? Alright, I'm preparing to be amazed. I mean, I guess so, but those cheese, I mean, those...
I need to get the texture. Look at that texture.
Alright, I see the texture.
And also,
I see
it's very crumbly when you eat it.
I crumble. I've had Munster once on a hamburger, but I've been afraid to try many cheeses.
Why?
After... Well, okay, so I figured out that I'm allergic to a chemical in cheese. Not cheese itself.
Wait, is it the processed stuff?
No, it's the good stuff. It's in,
oh, phew.
It's
that would have been my family's fault.
No,
my family, one of my ancestors helped invented the processed cheese process. That's just the lowdown I have.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's I gotta look really more cool. into it, but we have like a whole thing about it.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Whoa. Well, I mean, anyway, yeah, I think it's one of the aging components, because I can't eat Gouda is the worst one.
I know. I love Gouda so much.
I do also. The first time I tried it, I was like, wow, this is so good. Oh no, I can't breathe. That's what it was
like. I'm glad you told me this before I gave you my Gouda secret cake.
Oh no. But yeah, so I also...
I had a Gouda secret cake that I was going to give you. It was made out of Gouda. Had a candle in it.
I would have died. No, just kidding. It's not actually super severe. I just have to take Benadryl. Mm. But I was in Italy, and I ate a mystery cheese.
Oh, no.
And I was in the middle of a restaurant, and I was like...
Oh, no. Mystery cheese is usually a good...
It was very good, but I couldn't breathe.
And everybody else said, Mamma Mia.
Pretty much. I mean, basically, I didn't tell anyone that I was having trouble breathing until we exited the restaurant. And I was
holy
like,
shit,
Mom!
How old were you?
Freshman year of high school, sophomore year of high school. When's the last time I went to Italy?
You.
No, high school.
Oh,
not I didn't college.
Know you. I didn't know you.
No, I was probably like, I don't know, 15, 16.
15.
I was just too.
We were so young. That wasn't very long ago.
Yeah.
Let's see some more.
Give me more clouds. But yeah, I guess I'm not allergic to Munster since I had it on a hamburger.
I do once. Like Elise's tabs, which spell out, which say, "Excuse me, Cinematic Westworld." Okay.
Well, yeah, I have a yeah.
Okay, Elise, talk about this satellite image to give me the description of these clowns.
In a satellite image, they look like distinct leaf-like or spokes on a wheel patterns that stand out from the rest of the low-lying cloud field. However, why they have this shape or how they are formed is not known, but recent evidence suggests that it's the interaction of both radiation and precipitation may help organize them. The individual convective cells that collectively make up the antiquiform cloud are quite shallow, with heights generally less than 2 kilometers, 1 mile, and would be classified as stratocumulus clouds by an observer on the ground. Given the extensive mesoscale organization of these clouds, it is appropriate to describe them as mesoscale stratocumulus cloud systems in analogy with their deeper counterpart, the mesoscale convective system.
I thought that said, for a second, I thought that said mesoscale schmesoscale.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Oh, well. So if you were on the ground, you would think it's cumulus?
I guess so.
Stratocumulus? Wow. Huh. That's almost mirage-like. In a way. When you think about it.
When you really put your brain to it.
It's not. I'm really stretching to connect the topics. These clouds were only discovered in the 1960s. After the launch of the TIROS 5 weather satellite. Huh.
But until the late 1990s, scientists had dismissed them as merely a relatively uncommon transitional form between open and closed cell formations of stratocumulus clouds. Whoa. Oh, the term antiquiform.
Actinoform.
Actinoform?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is not included in the 2000 edition of the Glossary of Meteorology, which is considered to be the comprehensive reference work for meteorologists. Whoa, so this is relatively recent.
So, oh god, you know,
this is really recent.
The idea that, like, we didn't find out about a type of cloud until the 60s is like, oh my god.
There's still so much yes. we do not know about Earth.
Let's figure it all out, Elise.
Let's learn together.
Okay, let's do it.
Alright, so see you next Saturday.
Bye. Elise, you want to do a new random article?
Yeah.
I love these clouds.
I want to learn.
I want to learn.
Give me some knowledge.
Okay, this is your article.
Okay. Locking hubs.
Oh, that's like me. This is like my article. It's about me. When I lock the door.
Hi, locking hubs.
Hello.
Okay, you ready to hear about locking hubs?
I'm ready to hear everything there is about me.
Locking hubs, also known as freewheeling hubs, are fitted to some mainly older four-wheel drive vehicles, allowing the front wheels to rotate freely when disconnected from the front axle. This is done to reduce the mechanical resistance of the front portion of the drivetrain when four-wheel drive is not in use. The hub, along with the wheel, is designed to engage on the axle to be powered by the drivetrain in four-wheel drive, or the hub can disengage from the axle when the four-wheel drive is not needed, thus allowing the front wheels to rotate freely within the hub. The hub is a component where the wheel is directly mounted to and is on the outside of the axle.
So does this keep the hubcap on?
I guess so.
I like it when it spins.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I like seeing it go.
Here it goes, here it goes, here it goes again.
I have
here it goes again.
I just found YouTube. It's 2007.
Nightmares of OK Go?
Yes,
Nightmares on the of treadmills.
OK Go. Oh, shit. They ought to be more careful. What example are they setting for our young kids?
Have you seen their new stuff?
Of all the YouTubers I've seen, that's the worst influence I've seen.
Really?
Yes, of all everybody on YouTube. There's nobody on YouTube who's the worst influence on our children.
Have you seen their new stuff, though? Like where they're driving the little motorcycles?
I've seen videos they've done since.
It's still cool.
It still is cool. I don't like their music much. But I like
It's very their videos. Catchy.
It is very catchy.
I wouldn't listen to it more than watching the video.
So, Elise, what did these do? Because I was kind of zoning out a little bit, not doing my job.
So these are on four-wheel drive vehicles, and basically they make it so that you don't get a ton of mechanical resistance when your four-wheel drive isn't in use.
Okay.
So basically, you know, I'm not a car person, but what this says...
I think we all wish we were car people.
I love car, the movie Cars. We've already talked about this.
We can't do this again.
I just want to remind
you. We can't do this again, Elise. There's people. It wasn't that many episodes ago for people listening in a row. All right, keep going.
Okay. So basically, you're driving along, and you only really want the wheel to be engaged when you're using the four-wheel drive, mm-hmm. right? So this allows it to lock in onto the axle whenever you're using the four-wheel drive, and then, you know, it doesn't have to lock on when you're not, so you're not getting a ton of drag, and like...
I'm so excited for this. I'm so glad this is happening.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's cool. That's a cool thing. Yes. I'm glad someone invented that.
Me too. God, we should give points to that person. Can we give that person a hug, please? Can I find the inventor on this page? No. See, also, Freewheel.
Should I read it? Or are you just giving me a look because I said freewheel?
You said that to the tune of a song, which the name I'm forgetting.
Dream On!
Yes, exactly. There we go. Oh, God. Elise Shamatazian. I don't want to read the article for freewheel. I'm sorry.
You want me to read it? All right. Okay. A freewheel, or an overrunning clutch, is a device in a transmission that disengages the drive shaft from the driven shaft when the driven shaft rotates faster than the drive shaft.
That's like a tongue twister. Thank you, Jimbo. You're always setting up all these fun little tricks and traps for us. But we're overcoming them all, and honestly, we love the puzzle. I said puzzle because, you know, Wikipedia's logo? That's a bunch of jigsaws.
Oh, baby. That was one single sentence.
Yes.
I'm excited for the second one.
Me too.
Oh, an overdrive is sometimes mistakenly called a free wheel, but is otherwise unrelated.
The second sentence was disappointing compared to the first.
That's true. The condition of a drive shaft spinning faster than its drive shaft exists in most bicycles when the rider holds his feet still, no longer pushing the pedals. In a fixed gear bicycle, without a free wheel, the rear wheel would drive the pedals around.
Oh, that'd be a fun, that's a fun thing to imagine, huh?
Okay. Okay. I like the free wheel.
I love the free wheel. What was the last time you freewheeled?
Whenever the last time I rode a bike was, which was probably in the summer.
Guess when it was for me?
Never, because you can't ride a bike!
I mean, I did, but, like, I fell, and I cried.
Aww.
Never biked again.
Wow, you only tried once?
Yeah.
No get up and try
My
again?
My sister also gave up, which is why I gave up.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I wanted to be like my sister.
A family of quitters.
Thank you, my co-host and close friend, Alicia Atazio. That's the kind of thing I want to hear.
Yes.
Yes, just call me Quitter Hubish. Quitter Hubish Jr. right next to my sister, Quitter Hubish.
Just a
Jesus.
Man in a cable knit sweater giving up.
Is that your image of a quitter? A man in a cable knit sweater?
No, that was a reference to a very old tweet, which I think not many people actually saw except me. So it actually
And you're
was
calling
not
me
funny.
A loser.
I'm a self-proclaimed loser, baby.
No, don't call yourself that, Elise, please.
I'm like a cool loser though.
No, you're good.
You I just called you a quitter.
Good. Yes.
I need to call myself a loser.
No. Okay, Elise?
Okay, hold up. This article needs additional citations for verification. Should we include some citations? Should we edit it?
What citations could we add? Okay, we could say...
I've ridden a bike.
No, hold up. Yeah, you could say that you've ridden a bike and just add your own facts and shit. That's a secret rule you could do with Wikipedia. I could also put in... Could I put in somewhere the information that I have only ridden a bike once but then I cried?
Well, I mean, Wikipedia is all about facts. You can only put facts on
there. Yes, that is a fact.
Well, then we gotta do it.
And I was freewheeling, so it's related. Okay, so...
So put that on the to-do list.
Yes, we put it on there. Also, actually, don't do this, because I don't want to have Jimmy Wales get pounded not rapping on my chamber door.
Jimbo.
That I messed up their website. We're just joshing around. We're having good old-fashioned fun. At least... I'm going to bring up one last Wikipedia article, and then we'll be done for the night.
Oh, all right. Hit me.
Which is the time when we're recording this one. Here's your sound, babies.
Here comes the new page.
Dirty Dishes. Dirty Ooh. Dishes is a New York City-based American rock band founded by songwriter/singer/guitarist Jenny Tweet. Dirty Dishes style is described as heavy-laden hooks. As heavy-laden hooks blasting headfirst into speaker-shredding fuzz. That sounds like an advertisement, but okay. Sonically, the band has been compared to Smashing Pumpkins, My Bloody Valentine, Radiohead, and Sonic Youth.
How can you be like all of those?
This is an advertisement for this person's band, which the name sounds like. Bunch of middle schoolers trying to come up with a punk rock sounding name.
Speaking of My Bloody Valentine, have you ever heard the band Bullet for My Valentine?
No.
They are, I think back in the day we called them Screamo. But,
Screamo, okay.
Screamo. We used to sit in the back of 7th grade. And
in
we
the
had,
back of 7th grade.
Yeah, just in the back of homeroom in 7th grade. Mm. And there was this guy who I had a crush on, and he really loved Bullet for My Valentine.
Oh my god.
And he used to play it, like, as loud as it would go in the back of seventh grade homeroom, and I had the sweetest little old lady for homeroom, and she'd be like, "Turn off that racket!"
Oh my god,
and I just remembered
that is like the nanny from Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Oh, I feel bad now because she, you know, probably scared her. It was pretty scary.
Okay.
There's a lot of screaming.
God, all the girls I had crushes on, because all the girls at my school were all like, most of the kids at my school were like pretty dang rich, and all of them liked country music a lot. And I never quite got where that dynamic comes from. The rich.
Yeah, country that's music. Weird.
I mean, it's not. I don't think it's that weird, because I think there's the kind of like, I don't know. There seems to be like a certain kind of fantasy that comes with that, you know.
Hollywood with a country twang.
Yes. Okay, you're on your way, kid.
Something with the neon green. Everybody's something. Everybody. And my boyfriend's dad really loves country, so I have to listen to it sometimes. No.
I don't. I'm sorry for dunking on dirty dishes. I shouldn't have done that. But like the Wikipedia article, the intro really does sound like an advertisement. Like, I want to see the history of this article.
You're gonna view history? So it was created.
It was created by a management company. Boom Management. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Hold up. Also edited by Sulfur Boy. Nice.
That's me. Boom Management. Well, I'm sure that they're gonna wanna, you know, promote their bands.
I don't think that's allowed on Wikipedia, though. Ooh. I'm sorry to backseat Jimmy Wales this one, but, you know.
Is that not allowed?
You can't do, like, self-promotion. You can't do it for promotion.
Well, I mean, part of the way that you get verified, though, is that you have a Wikipedia article, isn't it?
It's a different thing, though. You can't just go on and edit your own thing. Yep, Boom Management did dirty dishes. You guys are busted.
Whoa.
We're the Wikipedia cops.
Wee-woo-wee-woo.
Wee-woo-wee-woo. That's why it sounded so much like an ad.
Oh, because it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me look it up.
Wikipedia guidelines?
Self. It's not a soapbox or means of promotion.
Huh.
Yeah, you can't advertise. Can't do self-promotion.
Wow. Scandal-mongering. You can't scandal-monger.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
We should have these memorized because we're a Wikipedia podcast.
One, what you can't do on Wikipedia. Advocacy, propaganda, or recruitment. Two, opinion pieces. Three, scandal-mongering. Four, self-promotion. And five, advertising, marketing, or public relations.
I mean, this all makes sense because Wikipedia is free.
And also it's like an encyclopedia.
It is. Yeah, isn't that weird now that we have an encyclopedia that people can, or do, self-promote on?
Yeah. I mean, they're not supposed to.
But they do anyway. I mean, yeah. I feel like I've seen other articles where it's blatantly like, hey, guys. I feel like
it's rooted out pretty often, though.
Should we report them? Nah.
I don't want to be a narc, even though we just narked him on our podcast.
Yeah, but Jimbo's never going to listen.
Mm, Jimbo.
Jimbo, give him a pass if Jimbo, you're out there.
I don't know who I know about that. Anyways, this has been, everybody, this has been WikiQuest. I'm your Wiki narc, Ted Hubisch, I guess.
I'm your Wiki confidant, Elise Janitas.
That's a more marketable way of saying it.
Yeah.
True. You can find us on our website at wikiquestshow.org. That's wikiquestshow.org. They will redirect you to the Shiny Light Switch Podcast website, which is shiny and good. And I'm saying that because I helped put it up. Thank me. In this podcast, WikiQuest, articles from Wikipedia are used, read from, and honestly, inspired. We take our inspiration from under the Creative Commons Attribution Share-Alike License 3.0. Unless these articles and things about it that we talk about aren't. This podcast is also under that license.
That means you can remix us as long as you link it to us on Twitter.
And also you don't make us say rude things.
Oh, how dare you!
Like a cuss. quote unquote a cuss. Never make me say that. Oh, crunch. Anyways.
Yeah, you can also find us at WikiQuest on Facebook and Twitter and a whole bunch of other stuff.
So if you want to tell us secrets, just DM us. They're open.
Oh, yeah.
Don't send any rude, crude pictures, though. I'm warning a bunch of against a bunch of rude and crudeness, and that's okay.
Just be cool.
Just be cool. Be natural. Come on. We'd like to thank our special friend.
Our special friend.
Oh, my God. I mean, she is a special friend, though. She's very good.
She's very good. She's our used-to-be producer, Emily Walborn. Mm-hmm.
We didn't demote her or anything.
We're just doing it ourselves.
Yes. Well, that it's not on bad terms. We're like nothing.
No, we still talk. Yes, it's great.
We're fantastic. We're good. And this podcast audio production is not done by Greg Farrington.
Not on good terms with him. I've never spoken to him at all in my life.
Is that being on bad terms?
That's being on no terms at all, pretty much.
Okay, exactly. at least that's about wraps it up. Do you have a nice thing that the listener can do?
Ooh, fly a kite if you have access to a kite. If you don't have access to a kite, climb a tree.
Or just run around.
Or just run in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three options for your day.
Oh my gosh, it's like a bargain.
Pick one!
Please. Or all three.
At the same time.
Yeah! You can run around in the tree.
Flying a kite.
Great ideas.
This is the best. All right.
So, that's been WikiQuest, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. Have a good time.
See ya.
You always say see ya, and it's very nice.
Thanks.
No problem.